Today is lesson 30 in our study of Mishnayos Maseches Yoma. And we continue with Perek Ches, Mishneh Vov and Mishneh Zayin, the 8th chapter, the 6th and 7th Mishnayos. We've been learning about the Inui, the mitzvah of afflicting oneself on Yom Kippur, by refraining from eating or drinking. However, in certain circumstances of illness, it is of course permitted to refrain from inui, refrain from that affliction, and to eat and drink in the interests of health and life. In Mishneh Vov we learn, Mi she'achazo bulmos, a person who was seized by a disease known as bulmos, which comes as a consequence of malnutrition or dehydration or hunger, and the person becomes very faint, very weak, and indeed cannot see, loses his vision. So ma'achilin oso afilu devorim temeya. This is not just on Yom Kippur, but all year he can be fed even things which are temeyim, things which are not kosher, nevelos, trefos, ham, bacon, lobster, shrimp. Ad sheyeodu eino. The presumption here is that there's no other food available which will do the trick. So therefore you can give him even food which is not kosher until his eyes become light again, meaning until his vision is restored. An interesting halacha. A person who was bitten by a rabid dog, which is a serious illness, suffik pikuach nefesh, maybe even vadai pikuach nefesh. Ein ma'achilin oso mechatzar koved shelo. There was a belief in ancient times that the cure for being bitten by a rabid dog was to kill that dog and to extract from it near the liver of the dog is a chatzar koved. Some say this is the diaphragm, which anatomically has little to do with the liver, but is located just above the liver. And if the patient, the victim, was fed with this chatzar koved of that dog, which of course is not kosher, nevertheless, he would be cured. So, the Tanakhama says, you can't feed him from that chatzar koved. You can't feed him from that dog. The belief of the Chachamim was that even though there's a folk belief, people believe that this is a refuah. However, this is not a refuah. This is just some kind of foolish belief. And therefore, you can't feed a person something which is treif, which is not really a cure. The discussion today is when it comes to certain homeopathic medicines which are made from exotic derivatives of exotic animals, which are not kosher, sharks, fins, and whatnot, that perhaps that should be permissible if a person is really very, very sick. Others argue that's not a refuah beduka, that's not a tested cure, it's just some foolish belief. I don't want to offend any of you who might believe in homeopathy, but I think it's generally accepted that that's not medically proven. It would then not be permitted to feed a person from that medicine, even if he was dangerously sick, according to the Chachamim. However, for Rav Masya ben Charash Mati, there was one Tana, named Rav Masya ben Charash, who said either he believed that this was a refuah gemura, or, as others explain, that if the person believes it's a cure, there's a placebo effect. So give him what he thinks is a cure, even though it medically has no basis. If he's so sick, let him have what he thinks will cure him. V'yodom Rav Masya ben Charash. Rav Masya ben Charash also said, Hachoshesh bigrono, if a person has a pain in his throat, others say it's in his mouth or in his teeth, it would seem that this is an indication of a disease which is spreading and contagious, an infection of some sort. Matilin lo sam betoch piv b'shabbos. It's permissible to cast this sam, this cure, this medicine, into his mouth on Shabbos, and there's no issue here of chilul Shabbos. Vipnei shehu sefek nefoshos. That disease is not definitely fatal, but it might be fatal. Might be fatal. V'chol sefek nefoshos doches haShabbos. The rule here is extremely important. That even a sofek pikuach nefesh, even if it might lead to the person's death, it's permissible to violate Shabbos or Yom Kippur or other Yisurim in order to heal someone or to save his life, even if he's only, if it's only a potential possibility that he is really so sick that he might die. The Mishnah continues, Mishnah Zion. Suppose there's been a cave-in, a collapse, and a house or some structure has fallen upon someone. But we don't know. Sofek hu shom, sofek ein lo shom. It's quite possible the person's there under the rubble, but it might be that he's somewhere else. He escaped the whole earthquake or whatever. Sofek chai, sofek meis. Well, we know he's under the rubble, but maybe he's already dead. In which case, why violate the Shabbos and dig up all the stones and rubble to get to him? He's dead anyway. Maybe he's alive, in which case it would be permissible, and not only permissible, but a mitzvah, to bring shovels and dig and bring all sorts of machinery just to get to the victim. Sofek nochri sofek Yisroel. Well, there's a question. Is it a Jew? Maybe a non-Jew? Even though it's a sofek, we just learned, sofek nefoshos doches haShabbos. So on Shabbos, you excavate the rubble, even if there might even be nobody underneath, there just might, yes, be someone underneath, or even if we don't know who's underneath, or what condition he's in, nevertheless, mefakken olav esagal. Mitzuhu chai, if you find him alive, mefakken olav. Now here the Gemara explains that mitzuhu chai means, suppose you find the person under the rubble. However, he is 5 minutes from death. He's in such shape, he's breathing now, but he's not going to live more than 5 minutes. Do you continue to excavate? Yes, because of the principle of Chai Shor. You save a person's life, even if you know that he's only going to live for a few moments. A few moments of life is also worthy of, it was also considered Pikuach Nefesh, and is worthy of Chilul Shabbos. But Yemeis, however, if he is indeed dead, then Yanichuhu, you leave him under the rubble. After Shabbos, you excavate the body and bury it. Here is where the Gemara goes through an explanation of how you know whether a person is dead or alive, an explanation which has very important implications for contemporary halacha, and that is the definition of death. When do you know the person is dead? I'm not going to go into all the complexities of the current contemporary dispute on the matter, but simply to tell you what the Gemara says. The Gemara says that if you're digging and you find his body and you're digging from head downward, so you go from the top of his head to his nose, you pay attention to his nose to determine whether he's breathing or not. If he's breathing, you put a feather under his nose or whatever, and you see if he's breathing, you continue to excavate and to save him on Shabbos. If he's not breathing, that's enough of an indication he stopped breathing. The feather under the nose is not moving. He's dead, and you desist from further excavation. However, if you're digging from the feet upwards, you find his feet. So you continue to dig. You dig up to his knees, up into his waist, up into his chest, even past his heart. It doesn't matter. You keep going to the nose. The nose, breathing, respiration, that is the determinant of death or not death. And therefore you continue to dig upwards until you reach his nose. If he's breathing, obviously continue to excavate. If he's not breathing, that is a sign of death. In any case, we have now finished lesson number 30.